Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 40% off select styles, plus a free professional measure and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 40% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Get a head start on 2025 with CNBC's Big January, the hottest tech event, CES, from Las Vegas. The data, the numbers, the jobs report, and meet the future of biotech and pharma at JPM Healthcare. Check out the Amex Golf Tournament from California, Inauguration Day, and the meeting of world leaders in Davos. Plus, the first Fed decision of the year. Get ahead of the game. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service. We are at Mike's Beer Bar for our Christmas karaoke event. We sing Christmas songs with our listeners every year around this time here at Mike's right next to PNC Park. It's always a great evening. Pat Fryermuth is scheduled to appear among other Pittsburgh celebrities. Pompeiani, I think, is kind of in limbo. Maybe his head has gotten big after that Malzi the Snowman single that came out. Mm. Thinking about how live performances don't always sound as good as the studio ones. I don't know. There's studio bands. There's live bands in the music industry. Some are just like Steely Dan, I told you. Great studio band, horrible on tour. Just awful.
Really? That's their rep?
Mm-hmm.
Random, play live. Random modern band that I think is actually better live. I don't even know if you've ever heard of You should have heard of them. Paramore.
Yeah.
Haley Williams. Better live. What's that? Yeah, red hair. Like... Oh, band puts
phenomenal.
On a good show, and her voice is better live than it is on the albums. It's incredible.
How about our guy Peyton over here?
He's getting after it.
There's
love
like
it.
There's like six scoops of vanilla
steak
ice
on a
cream
stone.
And an,
he's got
an
this,
apple dumpling.
Yeah, he's living right.
He's living his best life.
He
is. What he's doing.
I just respect the hell out of it. He's living his best life. He's loving it right now. He's going to be a big star in this
no
industry.
Concern about counting calories or what's going in, what's coming
calories?
Out.
Calories? Counting? You don't do either of those things in college.
It's time to talk to Mike Florio, brought to you by JP Roofing and Siding, your hometown roofing expert. Mike, do you listen to Christmas music this time of year?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. Was down in the barn last night. I dialed up the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Wow.
Got out of that rockabilly, Christmas, different interpretation on the various Christmas songs. Yeah, I love listening to Christmas
now,
music.
Brian Setzer Orchestra, were they like...
Suit Riot.
No, that was Cherry Pop and Daddies.
Oh, my bad.
Were they?
Brian Setzer was in Stray Cats. That was
okay, but that was like swing revival, right? They were doing swing type music.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about the Trans-Siberian Orchestra?
Wizards in Winter, dun 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 dun, or whatever. you into that at all?
Yeah, you know. But last year, my son sent me the clip of Family Guy where Ding Fries Are Done. If you guys
heard
that,
oh no, yes, I'm
from
yes.
Now, every time I hear that tune now, I think, ding, fries are done, ding, fries are done. I gotta run, I gotta run.
Would you like an apple pie with that?
Yes.
last one, then I'll ask. This is a sleeper hit, but it's always my number one pick now for best Christmas song. The Waitresses doing that Christmas rapping song. Dun, 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 dun,
yeah,
dun,
we've
dun,
heard
dun.
It.
Yeah, I don't know that one. Do I know
no.
that one?
No, Mike, you got to look at that.
Mike, you got to listen to that one. I think it would be right up your alley, my friend.
Mike strikes me as a guy that likes the classics, your Nat King Cole's, your Perry Cuomo's.
I mean, just said he was listening to Brian Setzer Orchestra's Christmas.
Perry Cuomo? You mean the former governor of New York's brother, Perry? Mario and Perry Cuomo hanging out.
Who's the guy from Canada?
Perry Cuomo.
Oh, Cuomo.
Yeah, not Cuomo. Cuomo. Were you going to say Perry Mason next?
Hey, Mike, people have seen what you've said about Kirk Cousins and the Steelers, and we're getting texts like, did Mike watch Enigma and start taking the ayahuasca treatment? So I just want to get your take on what you said.
Well, no, it's just that the Steelers got a hell of a deal this year. I mean, the three quarterbacks on their depth chart collectively are making less than Mason Rudolph is. And that's an option for next year to go out and shop for bargains again. I don't know how this season is going to end. If they go one and done in the playoffs, and if Russell Wilson doesn't really wow anyone, then, yeah, if Kirk Cousins is available for the league minimum, if he gets cut by the Falcons and he's available for the league minimum, an assessment is made that with, you know, more time, more healing, more just overall recovery from that Achilles, that he's still got gas in the tank, they could do a lot worse. That's really the question, though, for anybody that would want him. We've seen this drop off, and I think it's because he can't muster the power from his lower body because of that torn Achilles. So he's been overcompensating with the rest of his body. And I think he's just gotten to a point the past few weeks where the rest of his body is saying, screw this, man. We can't do this. The arm is too much stress. The core is too much stress. We need that lower body to be part of this puzzle, and it just hasn't been.
One of the reasons, Mike, I'm at least considering the idea and thinking it has some merit is because it seems to me, too, that in Atlanta, they've sort of done him wrong with their scheme. That's a guy who liked to drop back, go play action, and then take shots down the field. And everything I'm reading and seeing, they aren't doing that at all. They basically brought a guy in, paid him $100 million, it seems, and then told him to run an offense he's not good at. Are you hearing the same stuff?
Well, we're seeing the same stuff. The question is, can he physically run the play action, getting a snap from under center and doing what you have to do to backpedal? You do the fake handoff. There's a lot of timing involved. And the receivers are getting out of their break when you're turning back around. I just think that if you watch him closely, there are basic requirements of agility for playing the position that he just doesn't seem to have right now. And it all goes back to that torn Achilles. So the question is, you know, we just assume that if Father Time, and when Father Time eventually catches up with a guy, it's going to happen in the offseason. He's going to show up for the start of training camp, and he just doesn't have it anymore. Football season is so long, there's a chance that Father Time wins the inevitable race during a season. I used to think that was going to happen to Tom Brady potentially if he kept playing. And Tom Brady, I think, has screwed up everyone's expectations about aging and football. And, you know, most guys aren't going to make it to 40. A lot of these guys we're going to see at some point between 35 and 40, the wheels are going to come off, and sometimes the wheels are going to come off during a season.
Speaking of Brady as a detour here, we have Brady again this week. He's doing the Steelers and Ravens on Fox. It's actually the first time ever that a Steelers-Ravens game has appeared on Fox in the 60-plus game history of that rivalry. I'm not looking forward to it, Mike. I find his broadcasting this year to be very underwhelming. What's your take on Brady as the number one color analyst for Fox?
In my mind, there's Al Michaels, Pat Summerall, and John Madden, and everybody else. And if you're not one of those three, you're everybody else. And I don't listen to Brady enough to be able to reasonably criticize. I just know that it's either there or it's not. And the voice is squeaky. At times it almost feels like he's trying to deliberately make his voice deeper, like that Elizabeth Holmes who wanted to be Steve Jobs. You know what I mean? Like deliberately trying to make it sound deeper because he knows it's a little high and whiny. And he's just not going to be ever John Madden, Pat Summerall, or Al Michaels. And it feels beneath him to even try. And I don't like the whole thing with the ownership of the Raiders and also then trying to cover the whole league with Fox and the restrictions they put upon him. I think they're trying to get him to choose on his own, to pick a lane, and maybe he will eventually. Maybe he just does this a few years. But it's hard to walk away from $37.5 million to sit and talk in football for 3 hours, especially if everyone at Fox is telling you how great you are. That's the thing. He's probably in a bubble, in a cocoon, where everyone's telling him he's great, and he might be oblivious to the fact that a lot of people are like, this may not be it.
Mike, another kind of broad, general question about football. Do you think the league, or what do you think the league can do to fix replay assist? Because it does not seem like that is working out maybe as intended, or at least as it should, in terms of its practical application.
I think replay assist is a mistake. I think what you need to have is a true member of the officiating staff for that game who is in a booth watching in real time and with replay angles in order to be a full-fledged member of the crew, not a second look after the fact. And they screwed one up last Monday night where Andre Josivosh of the Bengals made a catch, bobbled it, got his hands on it, tucked it away, and then it was knocked out by Trayvon Diggs of the Cowboys. And it was a fumble on the field, and replay assist swooped in and called it incomplete. It's like, whoa, 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 football move. It's in the rule. Tucking the ball is a football move. Just because it happened quickly doesn't mean it wasn't caught. And the danger with replay assist is you have to remember it takes clear and obvious evidence to overturn the ruling on the field. And sometimes in the desire to be quick, people lose sight of the fact that it's got to be clear and obvious. And we don't know who's making these decisions. Is it the person in the replay booth? Is it someone at 345 Park Avenue? So I just think get a retired official who can't make it on the field anymore physically but knows the rules inside and out, put him or her in the booth, and let that person communicate with the referee because there's stuff they're going to miss. Face mask is the clear number one most missed call. We see it like once a week or more this year. Just let them be like a member of the officiating crew who sees what we see at home to supplement what the officials see on the field.
Mike, right now, do you think we see Patrick Mahomes on Saturday? And if the answer is no to that question, are we guaranteed to see him on Christmas here against the Steelers?
I think we'll see him on Saturday. And the question is, does Danielle Hunter get to him and aggravate that injury? Not deliberately, obviously, but if you're out there in the fray, you're potentially going to get hit. You're potentially going to get hurt. And then he's got to turn it around even faster. Mahomes said yesterday the ankle injury isn't as bad as it was when it happened in the playoffs against the Jaguars 2 years ago, and he didn't miss a beat then. He was fully participating in practice yesterday, so I think he's going to play. And, you know, it would be fun to see what Andy Reid can do with Carson Wentz, but I think he'll play on Saturday, and if he comes out of the game unscathed, he'll turn it around and be ready to go on Wednesday.
Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Mike, we won't talk to you again because we'll be off on Christmas watching the games. Thanks for being such a big part of our show in 2024, and we'll talk again soon. Okay, man?
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
There you go. Mike Florio.
You know what? I mean, I'm saying this now after we've let him go and wished him a happy holidays and a Merry Christmas. I feel like we owe Mike a present. He brought us up pepperoni rolls. Remember? He's had those shipped up to us.
What do you get the man, though, that is like a West Virginia king? And just has a gigantic barn that he watches games in and has every team's helmet, all kinds of pinball machines, cigars from around the world.
How about something thoughtful from us? Something that is germane to
our show?
Well,
fan gear would be nice. Well, you've got a beautiful fan hoodie on right now.
Thank you. Yeah. Is this more of a hoodie to you or a jacket? I wear it like a hoodie, and Alex...
That's a hoodie.
When I came home, Alex was like, I know, but it zips all the way down. Alex kind of acted like, oh, you wore your jacket as outerwear. And I was like, what are you talking about? This is a hoodie. Now, getting our hands on this stuff and giving it to somebody who does not work for the fan, technically, I know Mike obviously appears weekly with us, that you want to talk about pulling teeth, my friend. That is a tough order. That's a tough ask.
Fans are demanding that we play the Malzi, the Snowman song and react to it. Do you want to do that now?
Sure.
Do we have it, Charlie? All right, let's hear it.
Now, the Fan's Christmas Chorus brings you Malzi the Snowman.
Oh, Malzi the Snowman was a jolly, happy soul. With a giant bald head and a button nose, his favorite picture was Garrett Cole. Oh, Malzi the Snowman is a fairy tale, they say. He was made of snow, but the listeners know how he came to life one day.
There must have been some magic in that oversized hat they found. For when they placed it on his head, Malzi danced around.
Oh, Malzi the snowman was alive as he could be. He used giant words and his favorite GM was a man named George McPhee.
Christmas song version of the show Game of Thrones, which had such an atrocious ending that it almost ruined everything that preceded it, which was a great show. I would put it in the conversation with The Wire.
Wait, what was bad about the ending?
They didn't have the book to go by anymore, so they just kind of
winged it.
Yeah.
Don't get me started.
Exactly. And I think the song, like the pop solo, is the crescendo moment. And then that last verse where we're shoehorning in George McPhee.
Well, wait, it was Malzy. Was as kind as he, what was the last part? Kind as he could be?
Yeah.
It should have just been, it should have been something quick.
Malzy, he's a wonderful man who's made nine straight
threes.
Yeah,
like, exactly. All you have to do is, it was as kind as he could be. He's a philanthropist and a great man who once made nine straight threes.
Bingo.
Boom. You could have even worked in philanthropist. And that, Joe loves to say that
stuff. And that would have just brought the house down. It would have been a perfect ending.
I agree.
Do have an update from Austin. They're trying to redo it.
Hilarious. Just,
here's, that is the most Joe thing here? Ever, though. He comes up with this big idea. He requisitions multiple people from sales to actually sing backup. And then he realizes horribly, like, he's trying to rhyme something with B. Nine straight threes is literally right there, and his brain goes to a former NHL GM. How? That's the most on-brand thing in his entire life.
It was right there for him, too.
It really was.
You want to talk about an all-time case of fumbling the bag?
He really did. He was like Jonathan Taylor. He dropped the ball as he was going over the goal line. What was that? Or maybe he was like Scott Norwood lining up a 47-yarder.
All right.
I give the ladies credit. I thought the ladies sounded very good
on
that.
I thought Bob Solo was tremendous.
Well, it's very – I have one critique, and I can't carry a tune. It is very jarring to hear the ladies' chorus, and then Bob just drops in there sounding like the Barry White of Hopewell.
In that oversized hat they found. Where's Austin and all that? He really got –
Was that Bob Bouchette you were doing there?
Maybe. Austin got phased out. Why didn't he go, like, alto on it with his higher voice?
He could have done something.
Frosty.
He could have done that. That's a little cruel. Austin, I just found out from talking to Florio, Austin texted, huge fan of Christmas rapping. Austin goes up a notch in my book.